1 Peter chapter number 2, as we continue on our journey through 1 Peter. Tonight we come to a spot where it's a familiar verse, in verse number 2, that most of us probably could quote it, but also something I think is an important truth to help us remember the importance of desiring the Word of God. Now, some people have this idea that when you become a Christian, automatically everything changes. You know what? And sometimes some things do change. We have the Holy Spirit of God living inside us. We become a new creature. But some people think that they're going to be sanctified at that moment, never ever do anything wrong again. And boy, I don't have to live more than 5 or 10 minutes to know that I'm able to do something wrong. The Bible tells us, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice." We're supposed to be presenting our body as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So what the Bible is telling us there is that in our Christian life and in our Christian walk, once we become a Christian, our lives need to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. It doesn't mean that we're supposed to stay in one spot. We are supposed to grow as Christians. It's natural to grow. At least when you're young and you're a baby, it's natural to get bigger and stronger and taller. And as you get older, I know that changes a little bit. Instead of growing upwards, you kind of grow this way. But growth is something that is normal. And that's what's supposed to be happening in our Christian life. God does transform lives. And the Bible tells us to present our bodies to Him so that way we can have our lives transformed. And here in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, I think the Bible is giving us an important lesson, because many times our love for God and our desires for God and His things become cold. And do you have a desire for the Bible? I mean, is that really a passion that you have? Look what it says in 1 Peter 2, verses 1 through 3. "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so, be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious." And that verse number 2 is the one we're going to focus mostly on tonight. You see, it says that a newborn babe desires the sincere milk of the word. And what a wonderful, wonderful illustration. If you've ever had a child before and they're a baby, and they, you know what, when they're hungry, they're going to let you know. They desire it. They cry. They bellow it out. I don't know about you, but even in the wee morning hours, and both my boys, they slept through the night quite a bit. We didn't have to get up too much. But you know those times when the mom's there and the dad's there and they're sleeping, and the baby starts crying, and you pretend like you're sleeping still and that you can't hear the baby. Now, you can hear this kid like 3 blocks away, but both of you are pretending like you're sleeping. And then, you know, the one says, "It's not my turn." You know, it's out there and it's crying. What does it want? It desires something, and the desire it has, it needs to be met. And that's what it's saying here in this verse, that we should desire the sincere milk of the word. And a newborn babe, you say, "Pastor, that says newborn babes, that means new Christians." Well, be honest with you, sometimes Christians, even though they've been saved for 20 or 30 years, have never really grown it as a Christian, because they've never really truly learned how to desire the word as they should. And they are still very, very immature. It's a sad thing, but the idea here is, as you see in verse number 3, "If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious." If you get a desire for the Word of God and you learn from the Word of God, you know what? It's never going to go away. You're always going to have that desire. It's not always going to be easy. It's not always going to be something that you're going to want to do, but you see the purpose of it. You know that the Lord is gracious. You know that the Lord is good, and you should desire to want to have His Word. You know what scares me sometimes? I guess, be honest with you, and tonight I'm always trying to be honest with you, but I guess, be kind of blunt, I don't have all the answers. I believe God does. I believe God's Word does. And I think as we learn and as we study God's Word, you know, it helps us. But there's a lot of Christians out there that don't really desire to read their Bibles. You say, "You mean it's not just me?" No, there's times and places where people just don't desire to want to grow as a Christian. And that's a scary thing. That's not the way it's supposed to be. We're supposed to desire the Word of God. There are people out there that have no passion for Christ, no desire for His Word, and they think of a verse like this when it says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind. They think that's just impossible to do. But I'm here to tell you that God's word can help you grow to have a greater desire to want to serve Him. You know what? We're desperately sick. As Christians and as believers, we have a flesh that's around us. The world that we are in and is broken. You got the flesh always at you. You got TV. You got all types of things that's bombarding you in your Christian walk. And Christians have become desperately sick with worldliness. And only the Holy Spirit God, by the Word of God, can cure this terminal disease. It's only by God's help. First is becoming a believer. And after that, this passage talks about the newborn babes desiring the sincere milk of the Word. But how many of us even fed on it today? I mean, how many of us really opened up the Word of God today? And we're quick to digest the garbage of the world. We're quick to digest the junk food of religion, to just say, okay, I did something, but have we really truly learned to have a desire for the Word of God? When you get up in the morning time, there's something we desire to do. There's something that there's a passion for that we wake up and think, okay, I have to do this. But is our passion to reach for the Word of God? Is there passion to really learn to understand the Word of God, the sincere milk of the Word? You say, Pastor, you're being too hard and critical. The truth is, this is a desire that we have. Listen to some of these verses. In Psalm 73:25, whom have I in heaven but thee? There is none upon the earth that I desire but beside thee. You know, the psalmist there, he understood that God was the one he desired. He says, there's no one on earth that was going to satisfy this one need I had, and that one need was God. And he says that there's none upon the earth. Now, once again, hopefully you have a wonderful marriage, or hopefully you have someone that you can spend time with and you can find satisfaction in, but there should be nothing that replaces our desire of God. Isaiah 26:9 says, with my soul have I desired thee in the night. Yea, with my spirit within me will I seek thee early. For when thy judgments are on the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. You know, their idea is, once again, they desired him. They sought after him. Luke 6:21, blessed are ye that hunger now, for they shall be filled. Blessed are ye that weep now, for ye shall laugh. You know, what does it say? But blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. They're going to be filled. I mean, the truth is that we truly need to have a desire to want to serve and learn about God. And you get this idea, newborn babes, you know, when they are hungry, they're going to let you know. I had the privilege of spending a few minutes at the Bowman's house. It's actually pronounced Bowman, and they're getting ready to leave to go to Florida. But I've been calling them Bowman for about 2 or 3 years. I finally found out that it's Bowman, which is the right way to pronounce it. And they have the little Isaac that's, you know, probably 6 weeks old. And Isaac, when he woke up and was ready to eat, his mouth was just going. It didn't matter who was holding him. He was looking to eat. He wanted to eat. And the mom said, well, I need to go take care of that. Because the baby wanted to eat. Nothing was going to stop it. It had a desire. It needed to be fed. And so here's the question. And like I said, I'm not sure if I have all the answers when it comes to this, besides, you know, the Word of God. As we get into the Bible and as we love Him more, we're going to understand Him more, and we're going to want to be more like Him, and we're going to want to learn more about Him. But here's some things that help us maybe desire the Word of God more. Because if we're just honest about it, there are a lot of people that just don't have that desire. They know they're supposed to read their Bible. They know that it's important. They know they're supposed to memorize it. They know it's not something that they actually want to do. And that's something that's wrong on the inside. And that's something we need to try to work on. First thing I want you to see is there are some things we must stop. If we truly are going to learn how to desire the Word of God and desire Christ, there are just some things that we need to learn how to stop. I began thinking about this illustration because it involves food, and I like food. But, you know, there are times when you eat so much that even when you have your favorite dessert sitting there, you can't eat another bite because you enjoyed this meal so much. You filled up on the main course or maybe the appetizer or the salad that you came to the spot that even though it's your favorite dessert sitting there, you say, no, even though I really want it, I guess can't do it right now. And this is the illustration I think it gives here about things that must be stopped. Sometimes we fill up so much on the things of this world. Sometimes we become so busy. Sometimes we feed off the entertainment industry or even friendships. And we feed off of just so much that we're filled up so high, we have no room in our life for the Word of God. And because of that, we say, I know I need it. I know I'm supposed to have it, but there just is no room left. And that's, there are some things that must stop. And this is what it's talking about in verse number one. There's some things that really do not have a place in a Christian's life. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings. What the Bible is saying here, there are some things that really does not belong in a Christian's life. I'm going to give you a quick description of these words. You think about the word malice. It says malice causes one to rejoice in the downfall of others. It is an evil feeling toward another person. There is no place in the life of the child of God for such a terrible thing as malice. And to be honest with you, if our life is filled with malice, we're not going to desire the Word of God. Our desire is going to be to be angry or ugly to someone else. It says, lay aside all guile. Guile is deceitfulness. Christians should live by faith, trusting the Lord and believing God. Honesty is not the best policy for a Christian. Honesty is the only policy. And if we're going to scheme and connive our ways through this life, we're not going to have a desire for the Word of God. You know what's going to replace our desire for the Word of God? Trying to get by on our own wits. You can't have both. Lay aside hypocrisies. And most of us know what this word hypocrisy is talking about. It goes back from the word in the theater time when the actor would put on some type of mask and would play. And back in many, many, many years ago, you know, one actor would play many parts and they would just wear a different mask. And they were playing a game. They were trying to be somebody else, but they really were somebody, the same person over and over. You know what? This is no place in a child of God's life. Hypocrisy is something that it's a lie that you're living, and it's even partly of guile, is that you're trying to be something you're not. And believers must learn to be real, genuine, and transparent. To be a Christian, we must have a desire for God. And if we're trying to play some type of part and our desire is gone, there's something that needs to change in our hearts. And that's what the Bible says. Hey, look, if you really want to desire the sincere milk of the Word, you see that word, first of all, it says wherefore. We learned about how great a salvation we had last week and talked about how the incorruptible Word of God. And we talked about the blood of Jesus Christ, the preciousness of it. He's saying, if you're a believer, we need to learn how to lay aside the guile. We need to learn to lay aside the malice. We need to learn how to lay aside the hypocrisies. And I tell you, we need to be real Christians. We just need to be sincere, and we need to name the name of Jesus Christ and not live a life that's fake. Too many people see fake people all around them. So many people see Christians that have been fake. They say one thing in the church service, and they live the rest of the life some way differently. And God's saying, you need to lay that aside if you ever really, truly want to desire me. And it says the next word is envies. Envy breeds discontentment. With what we have, we should be satisfied. What has God given you? You know, we always will deal with wanting more. That is our flesh. Our flesh always says, I need more, I have to have more, but how do you deal with it? The Bible says that we need to lay that aside. We need to stop envying others if we truly want to learn how to desire Christ. This is evil. There's really no place for a Christian's life to be envious of other people's things. Paul wrote, not that I speak in respect of want, for I've learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Not everybody's going to be like that. In the unsaved world, people are going to be discontent. In the unsaved world, people will be envious. In the unsaved world, people will always be wanting something more. They're never going to change the TV commercials. They're never going to stop having telemarketers call your house. There's never going to stop the people in the middle of the mall that's trying to spray stuff on you or do something. They're always going to be pushing more and more because our flesh desires that. But what are we supposed to do with that? We're supposed to lay that aside. We're supposed to learn how to be content. Our desire should be Jesus Christ. And then he talked about evil speakings. This is more of the conversations thing. I wonder how much we would have to say if we stopped speaking evil about other people. You ever met somebody who likes talking bad about something? I mean, it's just like it's their whole entire conversation from the minute you talk to them to the minute. It's the type of person you kind of want to walk away from. Never get to talk to them because they never have something good to say. There's never an encouragement. It's always something. You know what? I wonder how much we would communicate if we would stop with the evil speakings. And Look what verse number 1 says. If you want this, if you really truly want to desire God, there's going to be some things you have to stop. You have to lay certain things aside. And those are some things there, but I think you can make that list a lot longer, and you can start talking about other things. There are vices in our lives, sometimes even things that are just weights in our lives. And if we truly have an interest in desiring God and desiring His Word, we have to look at it and say, look, this is taking the place of God. I have to lay this aside so I can desire God the way I want to. And I say, if you get up tomorrow morning and the first thing you want to do is turn on the TV to watch your favorite program, then you know what? There's a desiring problem there. We need to spend a little bit of time with God. I know one preacher who said he loves reading the newspaper. I know lots of people don't get newspapers nowadays because of the internet. He says, I had to make a commitment to God that I would not read a newspaper until I read my Bible. I remember one year at camp, they talked to the teenagers and they said, you know what? Some of you guys like to eat. And some of your first desires when you get up is to eat something. And he says, you know, go to the Word of God. Desire that first and foremost in your life. Make that something that's a priority. And as you make it a priority, it will begin to desire those things. And you'll see God work. You'll see God move. You'll understand the Word of God. And as you understand the Word of God, then you're going to actually say, man, I need this. I need to get there. And I know people who used to get up a little bit early, and then as they extended their Bible reading time, they got up a little bit earlier and a little bit earlier and a little bit earlier because it became precious to them. And they were as that newborn babe. They desired the sincere milk of the Word. And we had to learn how to do that. Like I said, I don't have all the answers. I just know when I get in my Bible and I read it and God's speaking to me and I'm willing to lay aside all those other things, that desire is there and it grows. There's nothing like learning the Word of God and having God speak to your hearts. And you're saying, well, I read the Bible. It doesn't make any sense. I bet you there's something in your life you got to lay aside. There must be something in your life that you need to ask God. God, please give me a desire to read His Word, because if He's telling us to love Him with all our heart and our mind and our soul, we've come to the spot that we're missing something. And we are sin sick because we have this flesh still with us. And we live in a broken world. We need God's help. Okay, second thing is, not only is there some things we have to lay aside or must stop doing, there are some things that we must desire. There's some things that we must desire. And it's pretty simple here. You see here, desire the sincere milk of the Word, but also that you may grow thereby. There's two things underneath this. There's desire to the sincere milk and the desire the growth. The newborn babe in Christ should develop a desire and an appetite for the Word of God. Our desire for God's Word will intensify as we lay aside the malice, the guile, the hypocrisy, the evil speakings, the envies. As we lay those things aside, there is more room for the Word of God to fill up. But see, when we have certain sins in our lives, in our hearts, that we're not willing to clean out and lay aside, there is no room for the Word of God. And as we deal with these things, we will have a desire for the Word of God. But if our desires are for something else, the Word of God will never take over. What does it mean by the sincere milk? And that's a good question. What does it mean by the sincere milk? I think it's meaning the whole counsel of God. I think it means that we're not satisfied with just reading a verse and letting somebody else interpret it. It's understanding what God is trying to teach us in His Word. It's not just marking a box in the morning and saying, hey, I did my job, but it's wanting to understand the truth of the message of God. One preacher wrote it this way, and I thought this was good. He said, as you read your Bible, you are confessing your lack of desire as sin and pleading as a helpless child for the desire you long to have. Once again, this is something many people struggle with. There's a desire, you know, as a sin to that lack of desire. We need to work on it. Plead as a helpless child for the desire you long to have. You're reading out desperations for the effects of the heavenly medicine. Bible reading is not a cure for a bad conscience. It's chemo for your cancer. Legalists feel better because they check the box. But true saints of God feel better when their blindness lifts and they see Jesus in this world. We need to get real. We are desperately sick with worldliness, and only the Holy Spirit of God, by the Word of God, can cure this terminal disease. Saints, sit down in the shade of the cross and plead for the blood-bought pleasures that are found in the Word of God. I think that if we really, truly desire the Word of God, we wouldn't be happy and satisfied with just reading something and not understanding it. If we would truly desire to know Him and understand Him, we would not be satisfied with a weak, anemic, almost anarchistic type life when it comes to our reading of the Word of God. So it's not only desire the sincere milk, but desire the growth. We should want to grow as Christians. It says that you may grow thereby. And there it comes to the point, are you still hungry? We need to ask the Lord to restore our spiritual appetite. When we don't eat properly, our health will suffer. And when the trials come, we will be too weak to fight through the battles. You know, I don't know about you, but I don't really like vegetables very much. Most of you know that. If it's a green vegetable, I don't really like it. Now, do I eat them? I do, because I'm supposed to, because it's supposed to help me be more healthy. And we got to get to the spot that you say, hey, do I want to grow as a Christian? Is growing a Christian really important or not to me? Because if growing as a Christian is important to you, it begins right here, is desiring the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. This is how you're going to grow. This is the only way you're really truly going to grow in the Lord. Now, I know there's other things that you can put with the Word of God. And there's other ways that you can grow in helping one another, helping and things like that. I understand that. But the Bible says here, if you really truly want to grow as a Christian, then here it is. It comes to the point is, are you going to fill up on the rest of the world? Or are you going to say, my growth as a Christian is more important than whatever it is that takes me away from the Bible, whatever takes me away from the Word of God? Don't think that you're getting no good food from the Bible. One preacher put it this way. Don't think you're getting no good food from the Bible merely because you do not see that good day by day. The greatest effects are by no means those which make the most noise, are most easily observed. The greatest effects are often silent, quiet, and hard to detect at the time they are being produced. Think of the influence of the moon upon the earth and of the air upon the human lungs. Remember how silently the dew falls and how the grass still grows. There may be far more doing than you think in your soul by your Bible reading. Do not give up just because you don't see immediate results. We live in a day and time where we want everything super fast. They have these microwaves, they have convection ovens, they have drive-thrus, they have all these things, fast food, and we expect that it's going to happen just like that. But the Bible says that as we surrender our lives, put ourselves on the altar, that we'll be transformed by the renewing of our mind. You think that word renewing, what does that mean? You're renewing it. It's happening. It's happening daily. And if we truly want to grow as a Christian, we must learn that and have faith in the Word of God that God is the one that is accomplishing the work in our hearts and life. What do you desire most? Once again, this is something that's true in my life. There are times when I don't want to get up and read my Bible as I should. There's something wrong with my heart then. And I must make sure that I want to desire to love Him more. The third thing, not only is there things that must be put away or stopped and things that there must be desired, there are things we must remember. There are things that we must remember. And you see that in verse number 3, I think. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. We need to remember that the Lord is good. I mean, we just gotta come to this point in this moment in our life that God saved us and we believed in Him. I know the Lord is good because of what He's done in my life. Jesus is truly wonderful. I've experienced Him for myself. I know He is real. I can speak of conviction because He has proven Himself real in my life. And I know that He's never left me. He's never forsaken me. He is not someone I just simply read about. I experience His grace in my own life through salvation and through daily living. The Lord is gracious. And I decided that His will is the best thing for my life. The Bible says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. It's sort of like that time and place where people say, oh, I don't like that. And you see something new that's sitting there. You ever had a child that looked at it and they saw a Brussels sprout or a broccoli or something like that? And I looked at it. If it was green and was a vegetable, I would tell my mom I didn't like it. And the famous words were, have you ever tried to see if you liked it or not? And, you know, after, even though I said, yes, I have, and I don't like it, she still make me eat it. But the truth is, you say, Pastor, the desiring of God and desiring His Word, I don't see how that can happen. Well, have you ever tried? Have you ever tasted and saw that the Lord was good? Because He is gracious. And that's what the verse is saying here. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. If you know God is good on the basis of what God has proven to you, follow Him. What do you know about Jesus Christ? He's wonderful to us. He keeps his word. He's been blessed. He's blessed us, and he's proven it in your life if you allow him to taste and see that God is good. Have you tried God out? And like I said, I know that might seem frivolous, but it's the truth that if you have you ever tried to see if you liked it? Because some people say, well, it just can't be true. Have you ever prayed to ask God if you have a greater desire for his word? Have you ever been willing to lay aside something or spend a week of time maybe without a TV or without a magazine or a week of time without listening to this or watching this and say, God, I want to hear from you. God, I'm going to spend my time in your word. I desire you more than anything else. As it said, there is none in heaven, none upon the earth that I desire besides thee. Have we come to the spot in our life that God is our greatest desire, but when we wake up in the morning, too many times, God's not even on our mind or heart? How do we build that desire? How do we get that longing? The Bible says if we hunger and thirst after righteousness, then we'll be filled. If we act as that, I think, like I said, I saw that little baby boy yesterday. And he was hungry and he wasn't going to be quiet until he got fed, until he got filled. And if it comes to the point of righteousness, hungering and thirsting after righteousness, that's when we're going to be filled. And then we have to have a desire just as a newborn babe does. They're not going to stop until they get fed, until something happens. And that's what we need to be with God. God, I want you to bless me. Like we looked at Jacob wrestling with the Lord a few Sunday mornings ago. You know, he held on to him and said, bless me. He says, you know, Lord, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. And he wrestled with him all night long. And he came to the realization that he was Jacob. And he needed God's help to change him. And he said, Lord, I'm not going to let you go. I'm willing to do whatever it is you want. I just need your blessing. I wonder how many of us really desire him that way. Listen to this verse again. With my soul have I desired thee in the night. Yea, with my spirit within me will I seek thee early. You know, sometimes it's a fleeting thought, a passing moment. We might be here in this room tonight and you say, you know what, I don't have the desire I should. But you read that, it talks about it's in the nighttime, it's in the early morning time, it's something that's continual. If you know you have a need and a desire, that desire will grow as you fan it, as you give credence to it, as you push it to the top. If it's what you think about, it's what you pray about, it's what you act upon, that desire will grow. And as you become as a newborn babe, desiring the sincere milk of the word, you will grow as a Christian. Nothing sadder than seeing a baby that doesn't grow like it should. I used to tell the junior church kids, and Courtney Lane was my helper for a little while in the junior church. I said, could you imagine if Courtney was, at that point in time, probably 18, 19, 20 years old, and she still had the body as a one-year-old? That would be really sad, wouldn't it? I mean, to think that it never grew from the infant or the baby stage. The kid's like, yeah, that would be sad. But that's how so many Christians are today. They're still a babe in Christ, even though they're 19, 20, 25, 30, 35 years old. Why is that? They stop desiring the word of God. They stop saying, I need the sincere milk of the word. I need to hear from God. I need to grow. It needs to be a priority in my life. A preacher wrote this poem, and I'll close with this. He said, once it was a blessing, now it is the Lord. Once it was a feeling, now it is his word. Once as gifts, I want it, now the giver own. Once I sought for healing, now himself alone. Once 'twas painful trying, now 'tis perfect trust. Once a half salvation, now the uttermost. Once 'twas ceaseless holding, now he holds me fast. Once 'twas constant drifting, now my anchor's cast. Once 'twas busy planning, now 'tis trustful prayer. Once 'twas anxious caring, now he has the care. Once 'twas what I wanted, now what Jesus says. Once 'twas constant asking, now 'tis ceaseless praise. Once it was my working, it is hence shall be. Once I tried to use him, now he uses me. Once the power I wanted, now the mighty one. Once for self I labored, now for him alone. You know, there should be growth in a Christian life. If you can look back in your life last year, or maybe 5 years ago, and see that you have not grown as a Christian, there's a problem. But the sad thing is, sometimes we're even farther back than we were 5 years ago. Where did it all stop? We lost loving God the way we should. We lost desiring His Word like we should. I don't want to tell you it's not natural, because it is. And probably everyone in this room has struggled with this if they really want to grow as a Christian. I need His Word more. I need more out of His Word. I need to learn more. I need to desire it more. Now let's have a goal for that tonight. Let's say tomorrow I'm going to desire God's Word more than anything else, and I'm going to spend a few minutes alone with the Lord and let God work in my heart and mind. I'm going to desire God more than anything else. There's nothing on earth that I'm going to let satisfy me, only God Himself. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet. With heads bowed and eyes closed for a time of invitation.